hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
You're listening to The Dialogue with Diwo de Boer on Reality Check Radio, where we discuss politics, power, and culture. You can text us your thoughts on 2057 or email your questions to inbox@realitycheck.radio. We are joined now by Shelby from Unjected, the world's first platform for the unvaccinated. Welcome to the show, Shelby.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
So could you introduce this service to us, the platform? What does Unjected do, and why do we need such a service?
Well, Unjected, probably, you know, for a lot of people who are thinking what it sounds like, it is what it sounds like. It is a platform for people who did not take the COVID-19 vaccination. And we are basically a platform for helping connect for love, friendships, and community, and to help people stay away from the harmful potential effects of being around vaccinated individuals or having vaccinated partners. And Unjected was actually born in 2021 during the heat of the mandates, the lockdowns. You guys will probably remember, like, during that time, it was literally...
New Zealanders all remember because we had one of the worst.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you guys had it so bad. And, you know, it was everybody lining up to go take what I felt like was a lethal injection. And, you know, no one had heeded any warning. Everybody was just listening to what the government narrative said to go do. And it was actually shortly after the shot rollout that hundreds of thousands of women started coming together to, they built a couple of different Facebook pages and even a website, and they started reporting the cycle issues that they were having after being vaccinated, having a vaccinated partner, or even working in close contact with them. And it was so many women. And of course, we saw this, the media mainstream go, oh, that's impossible. You know, there's no way that that's happening to you. This is all psychosomatic and you're making this up. And I thought, I don't know about this. You know, I had been previously vaccine injured as a teenager by the Gardasil vaccine. And that was really my wake up call. And so when I heard about Operation Warp Speed, I already had known, you know, this didn't sound right to me, you know, being an anti-vaxxer. So I decided to dive deeper into the Pfizer studies, and that's when I was really horrified. And these were those initial Pfizer studies that were actually tried to be hidden. I think it was like 75 years they tried to hide this data. And specifically, it's pages like 67 through 79, really goes into exposures to trial participants. So that is anybody who received a COVID-19 vaccination. And, you know, that basis of pages right there was like the final alarm bell, truly, to say, you know, we needed a place for the unvaccinated, the control group, to be able to find partners, especially, number one, but then also to find friends and to find their people that were also not experimenting in this big, you know, biological weapon rollout. So the initial beginnings of Unjected was really just to help people stay safe and find people that really respected them at a really crazy time in the world.
And you've mentioned specifically the COVID vaccines, the mRNA vaccine. Does this apply, Unjected, does this apply to all vaccines, or is there a wider range of views that people are looking for in partners or friends or whatever they may be using your services for?
That's a great question. You know, it, of course, originated out of COVID-19 and specifically the mRNA vaccination. But, you know, like for someone like myself, I'm a very much avid anti-vaxxer because I've really dove into the childhood schedule as well. And I feel like a lot of our members on Unjected have also done, you know, that discovery work, and they've now realized, you know, yes, I wouldn't take a COVID shot, but I don't think I would ever take another injection again, just by learning how long that this scheme has really been going on, you know, creating patients from children. So, you know, I do think that we kind of have expanded into really just being pretty much all vaccines, honestly, you know, and especially with the thought process that they want to make all vaccinations mRNA. You know, they've spoken about, you know, editing the schedule that way. So we could assume that, you know, that is what they're doing. And a lot of injections also contain human biological agents like albumin, which that would be coming directly from vaccinated donors. So, you know, there's so many trickle downs as to far as why injected is injected. But it is also, like you mentioned, you know, like injecting yourself from the mainstream narrative, you know, the news, you know, learning about the pollutants in the air and the food and your water and, you know, homeschooling, home birthing. So it really tends to be, you know, a full encapsulated community of, you know, conspiracy theorist or like-minded, I like to call us, you know, critical thinkers, truly. But you do notice a trend of kind of the type of people that flock to injected and just have these ideals that are different than the norm.
Yeah, I think growing up, we always refer to those people as alternative people, sort of alternative, healthy lifestyle people. And that's very, very interesting background there. I've actually got a sort of a different background for an anti-vax background, as it were, because the Dutch Reformed community where I come from in the Netherlands, way back, they actually started their anti-vax stance over 100 years ago. It was with a smallpox vaccine. So it's a very old story.
Are you talking about the Anti-Vaccination League?
They were perhaps part of that, because this was in the Netherlands, and so they would have been connected somewhat. I'm familiar with the English one, but I know that the, in particularly in these like rural Calvinist areas in the Netherlands, they built it up as part of their theology as well, and you know, the harm that was being done by the smallpox vaccine at the time, I believe. And because it killed a lot of people as well, they said, well, it's all for the greater good. You know, yes, it kills some people, but it'll save lots of lives. Mm-hmm. And the Calvinists found that unacceptable. And then there were other theological reasons as well. And so they opposed the compulsory vaccination because that's how it really started off with all vaccines. People don't realize that when they object to the compulsory nature of the COVID vaccine, is that for any vaccine to really work properly, they say that they need like 90% herd immunity.
Herd immunity,
if 90% uptake, that's not really voluntary, because if you don't get 90% uptake, then the vaccine doesn't work properly. And so all vaccines basically have to be applied in a coercive way across the entire population, because if you get too many people who object, well, then the vaccines don't really work properly. And it's been like that since the beginning. But I think that's an aspect that people are not very familiar with. It's an interesting discussion to have with people now. It used to be an awkward discussion to have with people 5-6 years ago, and now it's like a much easier discussion.
That's so true. And you are 100% right. I've done a little research about the Anti-Vax League, which, I think it was the English version. And then they kind of moved into the United States. But that was, in the 1860s that they began. And it was because of compulsory vaccination. They were going around and fining parents for not injecting their children with the smallpox vaccine. And actually, at that time, they were even arresting them and throwing them in jail. And the Anti-Vax League would pay for the legal fees to help get parents out of jail. And you'll find these court records, if you can find them. They've really done a good job burying them. But the parents will say, you know, I had a beautiful, healthy child, and I intend to keep them that way. And that's why I'm not going to be, vaccinating them. And it's interesting because it's the tale as old as time. You know, here we are, like, you know, well more than 100 years later, 200 years later, and we're saying the same thing. You know, we have healthy children that we don't need to poison. And it's amazing how far that they've really gotten with I think, you know, truly with how many vaccines are on the market for children. It's out of control.
Now, I believe the core part of your business model here is basically a dating service, right? And there's a bit of a problem with dating services and dating apps, and why they turn into hookup apps is because the app loses money if people have successful relationships, basically. And so there's this pressure not to have a successful relationship and so on. So I guess first, you know, do you have examples of these success stories? And, you know, are people getting married? Is it really working? And then perhaps you can talk to the business aspect after that.
I love that question. Yes, it is working. We have, I can't even like the number of actual relationships formed. I have lost count. But then we are up into the dozens of marriages, engagements. We've had unjected babies that are born. We had three babies just this summer that that made their way Earthside from parents who met on unjected. So it does work. And, you know, it's the stories that you hear, too, especially because, you know, the vaccine, a lot of people will say, oh, this the vaccine caused the dating world to be so difficult. And I'm like, but actually, I think it's made it so much easier because it's the biggest icebreaker and it's the biggest deal breaker. And you don't have to go through all of this, you know, courtship or, you know, taking the time to get to know somebody that, you know, is going to be misaligned with you immediately. And so, you know, when people meet on unjected, they'll go, oh, we went out for coffee and it was 4 hours later, we were still at the table, you know, talking about the craziness of the government or, you know, what was really going on in the world or how we wanted to raise our children. So, it, you know, the conversations immediately end up being way more authentic and they're coming from a place of, you know, shared conviction and morality instead of, you know, what you're seeing of some of these other no-name dating sites where it is about, you know, hookup culture and, you know, who can you find next and who's the, you know, the shiny box that you can swipe on. And that's just not what people really are looking for in reality, at least unjected members. You know, they want that traditional lifestyle and they do want to find somebody that they can build a life with and have a family with and exit the system with too. Most importantly, you know, finding that and in even community sense, finding those people that you can exit with and go, you know, we're not going to listen to that government narrative and we're not going to, you know, whatever it may be, we're not going to abide by, you know, these orders and we have each other, whether it's, you know, farmers and doctors and as a community, families. So that is definitely what I've seen out of unjected, which has been the biggest blessing. And I mean, as a business standpoint, I think, I mean, that's funny. I guess I haven't really thought about it too much because really the goal has really been to help people find each other. And whether that's, you know, 1 month or maybe you're on the website for 2 weeks, you find the love of your life. Like I'm going to celebrate that with you. And I'm going to be so like stoked. And really the mission has always just been about protecting people and, you know, helping them find respect and love. You know, I do think with some of our features that are coming back, so I didn't even get into the app part, but we have some new features coming that I do think will help people stay within unjected that are not looking for dating. You know, we're going to be introducing more of a social media type presence where you will have like a feed and a wall so people can actually go and post in there, kind of decentralized from Instagram or Facebook. And they can really go connect with like minds in that way as well. So if you're, you know, already happily taken, you could go find some more friends.
That sounds interesting as well. And yeah, obviously success stories. You know, congratulations on people getting married and having children, and that perhaps will appeal to new customers potentially. So that success could create more success for you. But what does the uptake throughout the world then look like? Are you mostly America focused? You know, what people in New Zealand and Australia and England, Canada, you know, wherever? I guess is it mostly English speaking world? I suspect, but do let me know what sort of, you know, what does that look like if people hop on your service? Are they going to find someone locally, or is it really depend on where they live in the world?
A little of both. I mean, we do have, well, we have members in over 90 countries, over 100,000 members. So we do have, you know, unvaxxed people everywhere, depending on where you're looking. Definitely United States, Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand are our most popular places. So of course, just wherever mandates were super rampant, you know, of course, when you look at the, you know, the numbers, it'll be like blue states are super high and, you know, red states, maybe not as much. So definitely countries that faced the most adversities. Yes, we have a lot of members there, but, you know, it's, you have the ability to search anywhere in the world. So you can stay local in your little bubble, or if you're like, I'm going to go search another country or another province or wherever it may be, you do have the ability to do that too. So we've actually had quite a few relationships that have began from people like literally leaving their country and moving across the world for each other. So, you know, it is possible to find somebody, you know, completely in another time zone, another, you know, part of the world. But then, of course, yeah, the local experience, that's really what we are building out to, is, you know, because all of these dating sites had to start somewhere. And, you know, there's always one profile and then there's two and then there's four. And so it's just building out those local communities, too. So when you are on the app, you know, you don't have to do as much searching, and finding somebody that's close to you is always, of course, easier.
Now, perhaps the hard part, one that listeners may be thinking about while I've been asking these other questions, is how do you guarantee, basically, that people are telling the truth? They say, well, I haven't taken the vaccine. I'm totally pure blood or whatever.
Right.
And how do you know they're not lying?
Okay, I get asked this question by far the most. And since the beginning, it was an honor system. And we found that it was really easy at first, because the vaccinated were so virtuous that they're like, we are not going to join, you know, a dating site for a bunch of crazy people, you know, like it was not even in their realm, like, you know, because we were not partners that they would be looking for. And I think as time has gone by, you know, more people ask that question because they start feeling regretful, or there's people who are vax afflicted who have now learned that it was a really poor decision, and they might not be the quality partner that somebody's looking for, that, you know, to reproduce and create a family with. And, you know, they are starting to realize this as the years go on. And we've been waiting for, you know, science to kind of catch up with us to create an actual test to determine how much spike protein is in your body and whether it's from shedding naturally from COVID, or, you know, being shed on in general versus the spike protein and the mRNA that you've had in an injection. And I have found that test. And so actually we are going to be introducing that soon. Excuse me. So if people want to be tested, they can, and actually, you know, find out exactly what is going on with their partner. But we also have an injected verified program. And so you can actually attest to your unvaccination status by affidavit. So you sign an affidavit stating that you have never been COVID vaccinated and never will be, and that you understand it could be sexual misconduct to lie about your vaccination status to your partner or to injected. So we do have that as like an extra level of safety and security. But I do think that once the testing that we found becomes available, I think that is going to be extremely valuable, especially for the people who are really the most serious in finding a partner that they know is safe. And even beyond that, for people who are looking for sperm donors and egg donors, blood donors, breast milk donors, that's also another huge facet of Unjected that people do want to use the platform for, is to find people for those services. So, you know, that it's a great question. It's definitely something that's never left our mind. And I think that it's only going to, you know, continue to get more like stringent. You know, people are really serious about it. You know, it's kind of like it's a joke, but it's not, when you know, you're going on a date with somebody and you're like, can you verify your sexual history for the last 3 years? You know, like, can you make sure that you haven't been sleeping with vaccinated people and they haven't been sleeping with vaccinated, sharing utensils, swapping spit? I mean, it really is that extensive. And I think that the data in these testing will really like give people a new perspective.
And you get a fair bit of interest then in what you've just described, that people are actually genuinely very concerned, and that's something that they value very highly, as strange as some people may find it.
Right.
That's something that you've got a lot of people who are interested in, and you're providing this service here. And I think, as always, there's like an element of trust, I guess, involved with anyone, especially if you're looking for a spouse. Like, there's a lot of trust involved that you're being, you know, that you're honest with each other, right? So you can't really, it's hard to, like, how do you always control for dishonest people? In the end of, you know, at the end, you can never always completely control that. Unfortunately, right. We live in a fallen world.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was going to ask another question. So if you've got a comment.
I was just going to say, if, you know, if with the trust thing, you know, if you're just not sure, I always tell people, ask a few qualifying questions. You know, how was the lockdowns for you? And say it in a really neutral tone so they don't know what kind of answer that you're looking for, you know, instead of like, are you unvaccinated? Like, you know, what vaccine did you get? That, you know, that's a really open-ended question. And some people would answer that very candidly. Oh, I got Pfizer or Moderna, whatever, you know, because they're thinking that you're leading the conversation that way. And you'll know whether somebody is lying to you, you know, like, send me a picture of you at a protest holding a sign, you know, for the vax mandates, you know, or did you get fired from your job, or, you know, tell me your favorite doctor in the freedom community, or, you know, something along these lines. And if they're on the other end of the spectrum, they're going to look at you like, I don't have the answers to these questions. So, you know, just to add to the layer of trust, just be your own detective, you know, be vigilant. You know, if you want to do testing, but we've found that the people who migrate to Unjected, they usually, you know, are who they say they are, you know, they are authentic and they are unvaccinated.
And you've already alluded to this quite a lot, but I had the question, so I may as well ask it, but what do you think is the longevity of the service you're offering? Like, will people eventually move on from caring, you know, in 5 years, in 10 years? Is there something that goes away, or do you evolve with the political situation? Like, have you thought what happens?
I don't think it goes away. I think that we are still in the midst of clinical trials, which aren't over until 2026, 2027. So right now, everybody who has been COVID injected is still a part of a clinical trial, and we have no idea what is going to happen to those people. And that might sound really grim, but we really do not know. You know, every animal in the mRNA studies died, you know, due to turbo cancer, due to genetic anomaly. The spike protein has been shown in the mRNA to transfer for up to 4 generations in mice studies. So, you know, we all know probably somebody who's vaccinated who had a child, and they go, well, I'm not infertile, I had a child. And we have no idea if those children born to vaccinated parents, one, are even fertile, and two, what will happen to them down the road. You know, this is the longer term study that people really don't want to talk about, which is 15 years from now, which is 20 years from now. These are those long term studies that are really going to determine the consequences of the actions that have happened. And, you know, we kind of jokingly say, you know, is it too early for arranged marriages? You know, I've got 3 children that are fully unjected. You know, we don't want them, you know, finding spouses that are injected, or, you know, living that particular lifestyle, you know, because, like, we circling back to just being like-minded, we notice that, you know, if you're anti-vax, you're probably going to eat more organic food, and you're probably going to filter your water, and you're probably going to exit the system, and maybe you want to homeschool and, you know, do home birth. And so they're looking to create generational families with these ideals and with these traditions, and really bringing that back into our lives. So I do see the longevity of Unjected absolutely continuing. And I see it definitely transforming as well into really being a service to help people with blood donation, with, you know, family planning, with all sorts of medical services. You know, I do think that unvaccinated blood transfusions are going to really help vaccinated people who are suffering one day, help them feel better. I think that there is a multitude of things that is going to occur for the unjected community. So I see it definitely growing. It's not always going to be easy, you know, because as the control group, we have to witness what is really happened to our friends and our family, and the people that we know and we love. And that's never easy. You know, we didn't want to be like, we told you so. Like, that was never the goal. And so I think just as well, just us banding together to really be here for each other during this time is also super important. And coming down the line, this was just the test run. You know, they're going to do it again, and they're going to do it more powerful next time. And we really need to be prepared for this next go around. You know, I know that what they were doing in New Zealand and in Australia, they were literally locking you guys in concentration camps. You know, it is not that far off. And Bill and Melinda Gates, they just did their tabletop exercise last month, which was the same exercise they did in 2019 before COVID. And everything that they did at that tabletop exercise literally happened. So they just did another one. I implore everybody to definitely go and pay attention to what they have to say there, because they are already predictive programming exactly what they're going to do. And they are saying that the next pandemic is going to come in 2025. That it's going to be an interior virus like polio was. So anybody who gets this virus has the potential of being paralyzed or brain dead. They say it's going to kill 20 million people and 15 million of them will be children. And I've really been pushing this next part is if they locked us up and slandered us and ostracized us and mandated us when they thought we were grandma killers, if they think that the unvaccinated are potentially killing children, they are really going to lock us up and try to force vaccinate us. And it's like a really gross reality that we even have to think like this. But I do believe that they will try this again. And so having that person by your side, having that friend, having that farmer, having that doctor, having your whole little community that's like, I'm not ever going to put up with that shit again. That is so important. And I'm rambling at this point, but, you know, I just implore everybody that even though we are in this lull time, that we need to be preparing for the next thing that's coming. And they want to take away human rights. And that's how they do it, is through the vaccination. If you know, if you are no longer human, they can sure take a lot of rights away from you. And that's a kind of a heavy way to end, but, you know, just finding your people that get it and understand.
Well, thank you. I was going to wrap things up soon, but I think it's a bit too heavy to end on. So I'll have to have at least one more question, but very interesting getting back to the community you're talking about, intergenerational community. I find that very interesting in the context of what I usually cover on this show and studying history. And, it's interesting how many sort of political movements, religious movements, ethnic movements that ended up creating these communities that survived, you know, for hundreds of years and even much longer. So it may sound a little bit strange, but it's certainly possible what you're suggesting. It's an interesting foundation, I guess, to have for a community. Definitely. And it'll be very interesting to see how that develops in the decades to come. Mm-hmm. One last question then, big tech censorship. And I think what I can see, I know the radio listeners can't see your studio there, but you've got a studio. I think you've got a show that you do. What did that look like in the last few years, dealing with the technology and dealing with big tech, and how you handled all of that in the last 5 years?
It has been crazy. You know, I think all of us probably, you know, if you're in the awake community, not the woke community, that you've probably been censored before and, you know, or being fact checked or whatever it may be. And that has happened so hard to unjected since the beginning. When we actually originally launched in 2021, we were an app on Apple and Google Play Store. And a reporter had reached out to Apple and she said, Apple, why do you let all of these murderous anti-vaxxers have an app on the App Store? Aren't you promoting the pandemic by allowing them to have this platform on your platform? And they kind of were like, what are you talking about? And they immediately deleted us that day. We didn't even get a warning. They just removed the app from the Apple Store. And then, you know, Google followed quickly suit. They would send me emails of things circled in red, and they would say, you know, this is harmful misinformation or it's deceptive content. And as a developer, you need to delete the content or you need to delete the person who's creating it. And I wasn't going to do that. And so we were going to be removed from Google as well. So that's when we went to unjected.com. But then, I mean, the social medias, those, of course, took super heavy hits. I've lost 9 unjected Instagram accounts that I've started over from scratch. And even in my personal life, you know, they've tried to dehumanize me just because it was associated with me in some way. Even accounts that I had never posted about unjected, like I used to do professional photography. So I had a whole you know, business portfolio of families and couples, whatever, literally no association. They deleted that account. They deleted, you know, all my children's photos, just my personal page that had nothing anti-vax on it. So it's been extreme. Yeah. We've been deplatformed now from Shopify, PayPal. The list goes on and on and on. And I think it just is a stark reminder that, like, we are on target, you know, because they keep trying to shut it down. You know, they want to stop the movement from happening, and there has to be a reason why they want to stop it. And I think it's because they know when a group of people that disagree with the government's choices get together in person, they can't censor that. And that's really scary to them. You know, they can delete us off social media, but they can't delete a group of people who get together and go, I don't think the government is in our best interest anymore. You know, that's what's terrifying to them is like-minded people coming together to rise against them. And so, yeah, we've been heavily censored. It just keeps us going, though. We are going to reintroduce the app to the Apple and Google Play Store again in like 3 weeks. So we're going to see what happens with censorship. I think that the tables have turned a lot just in society's eyes, where they're kind of going, oh, yeah, that vaccine probably wasn't as safe and effective. Even the most people who are like so in it, they in the Matrix, they're also still going, oh, maybe not. So I think we have a better chance of surviving, but we'll always be on uninjected.com no matter what.
Well, very interestingly, just this week, Mark Zuckerberg has actually come out and admitted that the government pressured him to censor content and that he censored it. Yep. I don't think he gave a proper apology, but he did it in an apologetic way where it seemed like he sort of regretted his involvement in all of this. So even Mark Zuckerberg is coming around just a little bit.
I saw that. That's exactly what they did to me. They said, delete this content, you know, censor people, delete content if you want to stay here. And no, not going to happen. So, Mark, you should have done that too.
Right. Well, we are out of time now. Thank you very much, Shelby, for joining me. And to all of the listeners, to remember that you can send your feedback in, text us on 2057, email inbox at realitycheck.radio. I'm sure I'll get lots of interesting thoughts on this segment. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Shelby.
Thank you, likewise, and really appreciate you sharing the mission.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.